It's filled. It's filled with powerful nuggets. So what you need to get will soak in, but maybe at a later time you might want to watch or listen to this online and take some notes. Hallelujah. Psalm 5, 11 through 12. It says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who also love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous." Underline it. "With favor, you will surround him as with a shield." Today, I want to talk about a topic that has the potential to catapult you into an amazing and blessed life if you possess this one thing. Doors of blessing will swing wide open in your life that you could never open on your own, not even on your best day. Amen? Learning about this topic will cause you to be a God seeker and not a man seeker. Hello, did you hear what I just said? It'll cause you to seek God even more and not so much man's favor. This topic that I'm going to talk about today will cause everything you put your hand to prosper and be blessed. I want to talk about the favor of God today. The favor of God is really a misunderstood topic by many Christians. They think just because they're born again or saved, that they have the favor of God on their life automatically. And I'm here to tell you, oh, come on, that is not true. The favor of God is not automatic for a Christian. That couldn't be farther from the truth that's contained in the Word of God. And I will prove to you in the Word of God that the favor of God is not automatic. Are you ready for this? It must be earned. The favor of God must be earned. Now, this might go against everything you ever taught, because you're thinking, oh, favor, you know, favor ain't favor. No. Favor is not given automatically. You'll see as I start going down these 9.5 pages today. There is a very good reason, though, why the favor of God must be earned, as you will learn here. Let me start out by defining what favor is. Let's just get the plumb line of what favor is. Amen? Listen to this. There's four different definitions of favor. And it goes like this. Favor is defined as approval, support, or liking someone or something. I like this one. An act of kindness beyond what is due or beyond what is usual. To feel or show approval or preference for someone or something. Say preference. Or to give someone something they want or desire. So really there's two that really jump out to me. And it's that an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. And to feel or show approval or preference for someone or something. Now, let me tell you this. Here's where many Christians mistake this whole topic of the favor of God. Favor is not grace, and grace is not favor. Oh, come on, somebody. Favor is not grace, and grace is not favor. They are separate. They are different. Now, sometimes in the Word of God, they are used interchangeably. But I think that kind of does a disservice to us as believers because they are different. And I'm going to tell you why. And you're going to have probably an aha moment here as I get going on this thing. Grace is the foundation of God offering his love and forgiveness to mankind, while favor represents specific instances of God's blessing and preferential treatment, going beyond the usual. Listen to this. So favor ain't fair. Say that with me. Say favor, ain't fair. In this thought came to me as I was writing this. God's favor is not connected to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Are you following me? Favor isn't freely given by God. It is earned. It is merited. Now, grace, on the other hand, is unearned or unmerited. That's why they're different. Are you following me? Favor is not freely given. It's earned. It's merited. Grace, it's unearned. It's unmerited. Now, there are times in the Word of God where he chose someone for a mission. He favored someone for a holy purpose, such as Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? It says that she had favor, right? But if you study this topic out, you will discover that overall, favor is not freely or randomly given. There's usually a characteristic, come on, that God sees that you earned his favor. Noah, Joseph, Moses, David, Solomon, Mary, Esther, and more, they found favor in the sight of God. There are many verses that reveal to us of things that God, that can displease God. Right? How about this? Having a lack of faith in God or a lack of trust in God, it makes it impossible for him to be pleased. Hebrews 11:6 says this. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Go to James chapter 4 real quick here. James chapter 4. Grace is unmerited, unearned. Favor is earned or merited is my point. Look at this. James 4. 4-6, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend, of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Does it sound like favor's automatic with God for the believer? Absolutely not. Because it says here, if you love the world, you're an enemy of God. And that's talking to Christians, by the way. That's not talking to an unbeliever. So a Christian can actually make themselves an enemy of God. And then verse 5, or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The word of God is very clear that teaming up with the worldliness, that this evil world system makes us an enemy of God. That, and again, that's written to Christians, not unbelievers. It says God resists the proud, but gives grace or favor to the... If you look that word up, the word favor is also an option for that. That's why I'm saying sometimes grace and favor are used interchangeably, but I think in this one, favor is closer to what God's trying to say here. Okay, it reveals that God's grace or favor, what I believe, can be held back from your life through pride, but it can be released over your life through humility. So I think in this scripture, the better word in that verse would be favor. Say favor. Favor. Instead of grace. Because why? Because the big picture is this, grace is unmerited, it's unearned. But this verse here, it makes it very clear that our actions determine if we get favor from God or if God's going to resist us because we're proud. Are you seeing why I believe favor is a better word than grace in here? Because grace is unearned. Favor is earned. Are you awake this morning? That was good praise and worship, wasn't it? Hallelujah. So the word of God is very clear that we can make decisions and do things that will cut his favor off in our life as Christians. How many of you want to get the favor of God cut out of your life? I better not see any hands. Come on, somebody. Listen, here's a truth bomb for you. Here's a truth bomb from the Word of God that will mess with every dead religious mindset that anybody has. Go with me to Luke 2:52. Luke 2:52, say favor. Oh, favor, so good. Favor, one day of favor is better than 1,000 days of labor. Come on, somebody. One day of favor is better than 1,000 days of labor. I want the favor of God on my life, amen? But it's possible to live this life without the favor of God as a Christian. Look at this, Luke 2:52. And it says this, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor, say favor, with God and men. Jesus, the Christ himself, it says, grew in favor with God. And then it says with man. We know with man, but this verse just blows people away because they're like, whoa, wait, Jesus had to grow in favor? It says, literally says, Jesus the Christ had to grow in favor with God. I think many times we forget that Jesus came to this earth as a human. Hello, somebody. In the flesh. And he had to live this life. He had to have, come on, the human experience. If Jesus didn't have the human experience, his sacrifice for our sins wouldn't count. You understand that, right? But Jesus, by the way, did not have the sin nature on the inside of him because God was his father. He had an earthly mom, but his father was God. Amen? That's why he was flesh, but without the sin nature. Does that make sense to you? So Jesus still had to walk in. Listen, this is what you got to understand. Oh, I feel the flow of the Holy Ghost this morning. So Jesus still had to walk in. He still had to prove his obedience to his heavenly father to be able to grow in favor with his heavenly father. Oh, my. If Jesus had to grow in favor with God, I'm going to say, yeah, we probably will have to as well. Does that make sense? If Jesus had to, we're going to have to as well. If it's possible to grow then in the favor of God, it's also possible to lose the favor of God in our life or not to walk in it. And there's a very good reason for that. This is amazing, the things the Holy Spirit showed me about this topic. So favor wasn't freely given. It was earned. And the reason for that is found in the same verse, in that little verse, Luke 2:52. Here we go. How was favor released? Look at this. And it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. I want you to you notice he increased. What do you think I'm going to pull out of that? Wisdom. Jesus increased in wisdom. So living a life filled with godly wisdom based on the word of God and obedience to the word of God releases the favor of God over our life. Now, let me show you something that ties right into this. Proverbs 3:1-4. Hallelujah. I want the favor of God on my life. Amen. Proverbs 3:1-4. By the way, those of you that don't come to Wednesday nights, I made the announcement twice and I keep forgetting on Sundays, but those Bibles in front of you and the ones under your seats, we switched out the NIV and now it's the New King James, what I use. So those Bibles in front of you are right in line with the Bible I use most of the time here. So, okay, Proverbs 3:1-4. Look at this. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so, underline it, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Do you notice in the verse we just read about Jesus, it said he grew in favor with God and what? Man, or men. In this verse touches that right here. So the goal of what we're looking for is found in verse 4, right? To find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. That's the goal. The means of accomplishing that goal is found in verses 1-3. All right? Remember the word of God, basically. Keep it in your heart and be obedient to the word of God. God spells it right out in the word of how to get favor, how to get it and how to keep it and how to grow in it. Amen? So this is why favor is not random, but it's earned. Because God must be able. Are you ready for this? This is the crux of what favor and where it comes from. Are you ready for this? Very simple. This is why favor is not random, but rather it's earned. Because God must be able to, ready? Trust that you have him and his kingdom, the kingdom of God, as the number one priority in your life. If you don't have him and his kingdom at the number one priority, he cannot trust you, and you will not have the favor of God on your life. Do you see that? We are expected to trust God, but we also need to keep in mind that we must live our life in such a way, come on, that God can trust us. We always, you know, we're always focused on, oh, you got to trust God. You got to have faith in God. How about us living a life where God can trust us? He can trust us with his kingdom. He can trust us with what he's entrusted us with in this life on this earth. I made the comment recently that possessing the fear of the Lord or the reverence for the Lord, that when we possess the fear of the Lord, that causes God to trust us. Now, so he must trust us. You see, you got to understand this about trust. Are you ready for this? And you've probably found this out with people, relationships with people. Trust is built. Are you ready? Over a period of time. Trust is built. There must be a pattern of wisdom. There must be a pattern for God, for that trust to get built. See, that's why we can't just do one good thing for God and then pat ourselves on the head and say, good boy, good girl. Are you following me? We do one good thing and we think that, you know, oh, you're walking into the, you know, an arena and everyone's cheering for you. You know how men act when we do the dishes one time for the wife. You know, I'll do the dishes, and when she comes, you know, I'm doing them real quick before she gets home, and when she comes in, I'm kind of just standing there like this. She walks in, I'm like, well, did you notice what I did? Yeah, she does usually. But you see what I'm saying, how I'm connecting this to the kingdom of God, right? There needs to be a pattern. Trust isn't built over one thing or even a couple. It's a pattern of a life well-lived with wisdom. Now, the word of God, here's why the fear of the Lord, here's why God can trust you and I if we possess the fear of the Lord. The word of God says the fear of the Lord or reverence for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what else? And to hate evil. Say that with me. Say the word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it is to hate evil. See, God, here's what it comes down to. This is so good. God cannot trust you or release his favor over your life if you don't possess wisdom. Ready? And hate evil. Oh my. You must possess and consistently demonstrate those two things. Possessing wisdom and hating evil. Are you noticing a pattern of what's being said right now? Think about it. Here's what it is. God possesses wisdom and God hates evil. Does he not? If we want the favor of God over our life, we must, first of all, think like God thinks. And secondly, ready? We must act like Jesus would act in a given situation. That's wisdom. Amen? The only way we can accomplish that goal is to get this word, the word of God, in our heart and renew our mind with the word of God. You know, that's all a book is. A book is a book filled with the author's thoughts about things. That's why when you read the word of God, you're filling your thought process with God's thoughts. And after a while, as you keep doing it, come on, consistently, you'll start to think and feel how God feels and thinks about things, right? This is why this passage in Proverbs 3 and other areas in the Bible, we are commanded not to forget the word of God. Forget not, but rather read it, get it in our heart, meditate on it, come on, and do it. We are to be ambassadors for Christ, representatives. In other words, you're acting on behalf of Jesus. Jesus is kind of expecting you to do what he would do in that situation. Is that not what an ambassador is, right? On the behalf of another country, right? You're acting on behalf of the kingdom of heaven on earth. The word of God says that we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's not automatic. What that's saying is that you possess the Word of God and you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, that you can tap into that wisdom anytime you want through the Word and through prayer with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good to know? We're not in this thing called life alone. We're not in it. Amen. We have the potential to think like and act righteously like Jesus would act, because we have the Word and the Holy Spirit available to us. Now, this was pretty cool. The Holy Spirit gave me this to think about the favor of God in this way. Think about this at a secular job, all right? Wherever you work, a secular job. Let's say you get hired at a business, at a company, and you start doing your job, and wow, you're really doing well. You're starting to become real noticed by the owner, by the bosses, by the managers. You're really getting noticed. You're doing a wonderful job. The owner or the boss, they start to notice. Are you ready for this? Come on. Now connect this with the kingdom of God. The owner and the boss notice a consistent pattern of you handling people and situations that you encounter the same way that boss or owner would. Come on, you didn't hear me. And their confidence and trust begins to rise, in you. They're starting to trust you more. It's not just a one-time thing. They're starting to take notice and say, well, I've seen that person handle that situation, and that's exactly how I'd handle it. Are you following me? Now, and because of that confidence and trust that they have for you, ready for this? You ready? They promote you. And they give you more responsibility, which comes with more blessings, come on, and favor in the company. You are a benefit to the company and business. Why? The owner can trust you because you possess the same heart and mind for that business as the owner does. There's no owner or boss in their right mind that's going to turn over their business to a worker to manage their business. Come on. Who doesn't have the same heart and love for that business. Come on, somebody. You grew in favor with that owner and boss of that company because, again, you began to show a pattern of wisdom, a consistent pattern of thinking and acting how they would act in their own business. That, come on, when there's a business owner, that's their life. That's their livelihood. Are you following me? So when they make someone a boss or a manager, they're seeing something that they like. That is no different how favor is earned and given from God within the kingdom of God. He must have confidence and trust in you. Come on, with his kingdom business. You must demonstrate to God that you are and you will be a faithful steward, a faithful manager of his kingdom possessions, which includes people. Amen? Now, at most companies I worked for, I grew in favor with the owners and bosses, and it earned us some pretty cool blessings. You know, the company down at Oakland County International Airport, I worked in dispatch for, I think, 8 or 9 years, and then I flew for them, the Falcon jet. But it was pretty cool. The bosses liked me there. Why? Because I'm respectful. Are you following me? Favor started, and they even let my wife tag along on a flight to Sarasota, Florida. We're flying the boss and his wife down to Sarasota, and the owner's like, hey, you can take your wife for a ride on this because we're just going to Sarasota and back to Pontiac, you know? But this is what I'm saying. Come on. How many of you know that's favor? When the bosses allow you to do things they're not allowing others to do in the company. Come on. The only way to start thinking God's thoughts and gaining his godly wisdom is to get the Word of God in our heart and meditate on it and be diligent about it and putting it into practice. Listen to this. The employees that did not walk in wisdom and had very negative attitudes, all right? Are you ready for this? They were not trusted by the owners. Hello, somebody. Let me say that again. The employees that did not walk in wisdom in the business and had negative attitudes were not trusted by the owner and the bosses. And guess what? Those employees did not enjoy some of the benefits and favor that we did. That's, say favor. In some cases, in some companies, it even caused jealousy in some of the other employees, right? But guess what? Favor ain't fair. Say favor ain't fair. But say this, but favor must be earned. Come on. It must be earned by forming that pattern of confidence and trust with God. All right? Just like it does toward people, just like it does in a secular business. Joseph, listen to me. Joseph gained favor with God because he stayed consistently faithful to God, even in situations, ready, where it would have been very easy for him to get a negative attitude, throw in the towel, and backslide against God. But you know what? If he would have done that, Joseph would have never became a leader in Egypt. Hello, somebody. Are you following me? He never would have gotten the favor of God if he would have threw the towel in. The key is this: stay faithful to God in every season you encounter. Whether it's a fruitful season, whether it's a stormy season, whatever it is, stay faithful because God, your boss, your Lord, is watching. And he can still heap tons of favor over your life no matter what season you're going through. You must demonstrate to God that you are and will be a faithful servant. You got to be. Now, go with me to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, real quick here. Hallelujah. Psalm 84. I just scrolling through Facebook this morning, and I seen Psalm 84. Rich, you posted a Psalm 84. I'm like, oh, well, this brother's preaching my message here today, right? That's how the Holy Spirit ties things in. That's how you know when you're in tune, what you've been dealing with through the week, what the Holy Spirit's been sharing with you, where has he been taking you in the Word? And then you come on Sunday and things are like this. Whoa, that's the Holy Spirit at work. Psalm 84, 10 through 12. I'm talking about the favor of God today. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Now, the New King James Version uses the word grace here in verse 11, but there's other versions that use the word, come on, what? Favor. I think favor is a better one for this. I think favor is the better word in this verse. You want to know why? Very simple. Are you ready? Because it connects favor with walking uprightly in obedience to God. Why? Because favor's earned. Wow. Gotta echo back at me. Because favor is earned. Ready? Grace is not. And here it connects walking uprightly. So it can't be talking about unearned or unmerited because you got to walk uprightly to get it. So therefore, come on, it's got to be favor, the favor of God. Grace is unmerited. Favor is merited or must be earned. And this verse says to tap into that, again, you got to walk uprightly in obedience to God and his word. The word grace, the grace that God gave us, it was an opportunity by sending his son Jesus. Here's what grace is. Already ready for this? God sent Jesus as the provision. Now it's up to us to tap into that provision. Meaning God sent his son Jesus. Come on. When we were cursing God. We didn't earn it. Are you seeing? That's grace. We didn't earn it. God didn't say, oh, mankind did enough good work, so I'm going to set Jesus, go ahead, go now. No, no, no. It was unearned. While we were cursing God, he sent his son. So God sent the provision. That's grace. Favor must be earned. Our calling, listen to this now. Our calling and spiritual gifts is the grace of God in action. They are unmerited and they are unearned. They are just given by God as he wills, as 1 Corinthians 12 says. Are you following me? Spiritual gifts and our calling. That's the grace of God. We didn't earn it. Amen. We didn't earn any of those things. It says, in fact, God gave that to us without taking them back. It says that the gifts and callings of God are given what? Without repentance or without taking them away. Hello? That's grace, not favor. Why? Because grace is not earned. Favor is earned. Are you kind of picking up what I'm laying down today? No. Wow, we're rolling through. All right. Our calling and spiritual gifts are not God's favor, but rather grace. All right. So I want you to notice something else in verse 84 that jumped out to me from the Holy Spirit in Psalm 84. That verse 10 is not separate from verse 11, but verse 10 is connected to 11. Look at this. Here we go. If we are going to attract and walk in the favor of God for our life, we must also possess the mindset of verse 10. Let's take a look at that right now. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You want the favor of God? Here's another piece of the pie. Here's another piece of the puzzle. We must desire and be spiritually hungry to be in, to dwell in, to stay in, to experience, ready? The presence of God in our life. They're on a constant basis. In fact, his presence on your life is what manifests his favor on everything we do. We call it favor, but it's really his presence. Oh, say this with me. Say favor is the presence of God. So we must think like our Heavenly Father. We must act as Jesus would act. And we must, like any other healthy and fulfilling relationship. Are you ready? Desire his presence in our life. There's no healthy, earthly, human relationship where you don't desire someone's presence. And it's no different with God. We must desire his presence in our life. I believe this is one of the missing factors in Christians' lives that's holding back the favor of God, a lack of desiring his manifest presence in our life, which is really this. It's not just don't want his presence. What it is this. It's really a lack of desire for intimacy in our relationship with God. Because if you get to a level of intimacy in a relationship with him, guess what's going to tag along with that? His presence. The Apostle Paul ended one of his letters with this. He said, "The communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." I love that. The word communion, listen to this, means an intimacy of fellowship, a very personal, deep, and close, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not just shallow, deep. Say deep. If we don't desire that deep level of communion, fellowship, and intimacy with the Holy Spirit, we will never tap in, come on, to the fullness of the favor of God on our life. Because God created us for his pleasure. You know that, right? So God wants to manifest his presence in your life. But you know what he's also? He doesn't force himself. Come on, somebody. He doesn't force himself. Come on. He wants to be invited. Oh, come on. He wants to be wooed. Come on. So you could say it this way. Favor is birthed and released through not only obedience, but also a close and meaningful fellowship or relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, at your job, the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me about this whole secular job thing in connection to the kingdom. Listen to this. At your job, the favor begins by the owner or boss seeing you act with wisdom and making decisions that they would make, right? They're starting to say, wow, they're pretty good here. But after that, are you ready for this? After they see that, the favor continues and grows, ready for this? By maintaining communication with the owner or bosses. Do you notice that? If you've ever been at a job where you've gotten favor, you've been put in a leadership position, there's one thing you'll see, that you'll never see a leader that doesn't have close communication and contact, come on, with the owner. The owner's always connecting with them. I remember all the owners at the companies that I worked for. The owner would always take the managers out for lunch and all that. Why? Because they want constant communication. Do you want to know why? Because they want to make sure their heart and the workers, the leader's heart, are like this. So they maintain, come on, the vision for that business. There's constant communication. Communication. As favor, listen to this, as favor increases, a higher level of communication is expected from you with the owner or boss to maintain it. And really what they're maintaining, are you ready for this? The owner's trying to maintain trust in the leader. Y'all awake out there? Yes. Now listen to this. So that trust earned you, that trust they built in you in the first place earned you that position. Amen? But as it increases, there's a higher demand for that intimacy of communication with the boss. Once that communication is cut off, guess what happens? There's a distancing of the heart between the boss and the leader. Are you following me? Anybody understanding what I'm saying here? Absolutely. So that's why bosses want to maintain good communication within the leadership of their business, or even within a church, right? Listen to this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. This is powerful. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We all know that. Romans 10:17, right? But the Holy Spirit said this, but it's maintained and strengthened by communication with him in intimate prayer life. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, but it's strengthened and maintained through a intimate prayer life with him. Again, it's coming back to that communication. Why? Because communication fosters trust. You show me any kind of a relationship with someone. If there's not good communication, there's not true trust there. There's got to be an openness. There's got to be a vulnerability to have that good communication. Favor with God will never increase or be maintained without intimate communication or a meaningful prayer life. Now, Jesus grew in wisdom and favor. We read that, right? Jesus grew in wisdom and favor. One important reason is because of this, the Holy Spirit showed me, is because Jesus maintained a consistent prayer life with his Heavenly Father. It was a priority to him. Say priority. It was a desire and a priority of Jesus to invite and to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. Think about it. Think about this. The Holy Spirit brought this to me. He said it didn't matter how tired Jesus was after a full day of ministry. It didn't matter how many nails Jesus hammered being a carpenter on his job. It didn't matter. He made his Heavenly Father's presence and communication with him an absolute priority. And guess what? It caused Jesus to have a powerful life and ministry on this earth. It caused him, come on, to have favor on this earth. That's why Jesus grew in favor. Oh, my, my, my. Favor is an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. There must be a deep level of intimacy and trust to release that supernatural favor of God over your life. Now, let me throw, the Holy Spirit had me throw this in, all right? I'm not picking on anybody, but someone watching or whatever, this is going to minister to them, and I felt led to put it in, and it connects with the favor of God. Let me throw in this golden nugget for a minute for the single people in this room. Go to Proverbs 18:22. Proverbs 18:22. Oh, this is good. The favor of God. I want the favor of God on my life. And to do that, there's some things I need to do. There's some things you need to do. Amen. Proverbs 18, 22. I would say one of the biggest faults of Christians is this. They think blessings just come automatically without their cooperation. I bet you that's the biggest downfall. I think that's the biggest thing in dead religion, that dead religion has taught, that you don't have to do anything, it's just automatic. That's the lie from the pits of hell. Now here we go. Proverbs 18:22. It says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Now, I want you to notice it says, "He who finds," say finds. Finds a wife, finds a good thing. Now, here's what it's talking about. If you just read that just flippantly, you would think, oh, okay, I could just go out and find anyone to be my wife. I can go out and just find anyone to be a spouse. It's not saying that. Here's what the Holy Spirit's trying to impart things to single people today. Are you listening? Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I love it. I love her. Here we go. Listen to this. I love it. Here we go. This is talking about a deliberate effort and search to find, are you ready? A suitable wife. A suitable wife. A Proverbs 31 kind of a woman. Amen? So not just picking any woman or any man to be your spouse, right? She must be or he must be aligned with the word of God. Or if they're not, you're unequally yoked as a Christian. Does that make sense? Now, so I'm just saying she because this scripture is talking about a man finding a wife, all right? But she must be a woman that puts God first, that operates and lives her life according to the word of God. Amen? The Bible says that if you will find that kind of woman for your wife, you will, this is why I'm bringing it up, this is why the Holy Spirit's bringing it up, you will obtain favor from the Lord. Ready for this? For picking a righteous spouse. Did you just hear what I said? Picking the right spouse can actually bring favor into your life. The favor of God. I think that's exciting. Now, look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. The Holy Spirit wanted me to put this in. I mean, I really felt the nudge to do this. Listen to this. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trust her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." I'd say that's a pretty good job description for a wife, wouldn't you? Now, the Hebrew word that's translated virtuous means this. This is so good. Excellent, strength, or strong. It means wealthy, but not in a money sense. It means in a character sense. She has virtue, and she is valuable. So if you find one, a wife, without being diligent in your search for the right one, literally, if you find the right one, you get favor. If you find the wrong one, what do you think is going to happen? No favor. Now, here's where we're going to hold on tight. Listen to this now. In fact, it has the potential to bring a hardship and negative things into your life opposite of the favor of God. Now, there are verses that talk about hardships in marriage and relationships with the wrong person. Go with me to Proverbs 21:9 real quick here. Oh, now I'm really going to get booed off the stage after this one. Proverbs 21:9. This is the word, though, right? I'm just giving you what the Holy Spirit gave. Now, here we go. I'm not picking on women here. It's just this is where it's going. Now, because men, there's some dirtbag men out there, too, right? And the women said? And the women who've been hurt by men said? Okay, yeah, I get it. Okay. Now, but listen to this, though. Proverbs 21:9. It says, "Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman." Now, again, I'm not picking on women because men can be contentious and abusive too, obviously. But Women, you have just as big of a responsibility to make sure you pick a godly man. Amen. The right husband to be your wife. The right husband to be the children. The children. Some men act like children. To be the father to your children. Oh, we have fun here at Living Waters Chapel, don't we? So again, we can see that even choosing a spouse, the favor of God, ready? It depends on your thought process. It depends on your actions and the choices that you make. That will determine in the spouse category if you have the favor of God or if you don't. We'll move on now. Say amen. Now, go to Psalm chapter 5 real quick. Just something for everybody to chew on, the single people, right? Psalm 5, 11 through 12. And we read this in the beginning, but the Holy Spirit showed me something that I wanted to pull out toward the end here. Psalm 5, 11 through 12. Are we having fun here today? All right. It says, but let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor you will surround him as with a shield. I read that verse when I read it. I just kind of searched verses about the favor of God and all that, and this verse come up, and I read it. And I sat back in my chair, and I said, Lord, why do you connect your favor with a shield? And the answer downloaded right into my spirit immediately, right after I asked the question. He said, because, and I mentioned it earlier, because my favor is my presence. My favor is my presence. So what he's saying is this, when the favor of God is upon or around us, it is his manifest presence that acts as a shield to protect us from any kind of harm and danger. It literally, it's a shield because it goes in front of us. It goes around us like a shield to not only protect us, but also he said this to me. He said, my presence goes before you to shift atmospheres, to shift situations, to turn favor, things that would be impossible, to turn those situations in your favor. It's a shield because it's his presence going before you and around you. Not only does that include the Holy Spirit himself being a shield, but the Holy Spirit said this, it also includes the angels of God, the ministering spirits of God, working on our behalf as a shield around us. Now listen to this. Why is that? Angels, the angels of God carry the presence of God on them because they travel back and forth between heaven and earth. They travel back and forth between the throne room and come down to help mankind. Are you following me? So when they come down to earth, they have the presence of God, the presence of heaven on them. That's why every angelic encounter I've ever had in my life, you feel the manifest presence of God. You feel that power, the energy of the Holy Spirit coming forth because they're going forth between. So the angels of God, ministering spirits of God, they are also included in that shield of favor around you. Angels are working on this earth on behalf of God himself. So rightfully so, they carry his presence with them as well. Right after the Holy Spirit spoke to me about the shield of his presence or his favor, he brought Ecclesiastes 10:8 to my remembrance. Quickly, go with me. I'm on page 9, so I'm almost there, people. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 8. Remember, we're talking about his favor, his presence being like a shield. Ecclesiastes 10:8 says this, he who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall, some versions say breaks through a hedge, breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. The shield, our protection, the manifest presence of God can be removed and we can become an open target for demons and the kingdom of darkness on this earth when we give in to sin and disobedience to the word. Did you follow? You see that? It talks about a shield. But then here it says you can put a hole in that shield or through that wall of protection around you. It creates an opening in the wall through that hedge, that shield around us. Again, why? Are you ready? The favor of God is not automatic over our life. It must be earned. It must be maintained. Amen? We must stay in faith. We must stay in communication. We must walk in obedience to him. I want to look real quick. There's an entire chapter that deals with the favor of God and the benefits of having the favor of God on your life. Go with me, y'all know it, to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. This is a psalm that you need to be confessing over you and your family. Come on, over your friends, over the church, everything. Psalm 91. Now, I don't think I'll read it all for time here. You can. But what I want to pull out is that this entire chapter of Psalm 91 talks about the favor of God, the presence of God, surrounding your life and the benefits of that reality of maintaining that place, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Say that with me. The secret place of the Most High. Now, it's not a secret from us. It's a secret from the enemy. That's why it's a secret place of protection. That's his presence. That's his man. God's manifest presence doesn't manifest everywhere. His presence is everywhere, but he doesn't manifest his presence everywhere. Does that make sense? The manifest presence is the glory of God, the Shekinah, the kabod, the glory cloud. When you literally start to feel, you feel the presence of God. That's the manifest presence of God. Now, if you will read this on your own, verses 1 through 14, it starts off, the 14 verses, they start off as a confession of the psalmist of the benefits of dwelling or remaining in the secret place of the Most High. To dwell means to, infers that it's a consistent pattern of remaining somewhere. Hello, amen? That word pattern is just stuck in my mind, the Holy Spirit. We have to have pattern of good works. We need to have this pattern of faith in God, pattern of a powerful prayer life. So it's not a going in and out of the secret place, but rather it's a staying there constantly. So that verse 1 through 14, it's a confession. You read it yourself today. It's a confession of everything, all the benefits of remaining, dwelling in that secret place. And then there's a switch up. If you'll read, 1 through 13, and then 14 through 16, there's a switch. Now, if you'll notice and read that, God starts doing the talking to us. God starts doing the talking. All of these benefits that Psalm 91 lists are because of his favor or presence. In verses 14 through 16, he tells us why. He tells us why he's going to do all these blessings that were confessed. Because you set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, I want to end this message just with one last thing, Psalm 30. Psalm 30. I read this verse and I said, this is interesting. Psalm 30, verses 4 through 5. And it says, sing praise to the Lord, you his saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Now, here's what it is. So God's anger is but for a moment, all right? His favor is for life. I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, what's the point are you trying to get across? Because I just made it very clear here, and we've found scriptures where it talks about the favor of God is earned. And you're saying it's for life. And he said this, he said, I made the provision for it that you can have it for your whole life on this earth. Are you following me? Our Heavenly Father is telling us this. He desires every one of his children, Christians, to experience his favor on a consistent basis. It's available for every Christian. That is his desire. That is his will. You never have to question if God wants you to have his favor or not. The question has been settled. He does. But there's some things that we need to do to get it. He's got to trust you. For that to happen, we must live a life of obedience to the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. We must consistently choose God's way. We must desire and press in for more intimacy in our communication and relationship with our Heavenly Father, a desire for his holy presence. Church, if we will truly do that with a pure heart, the favor of God, listen to me, this is how the words came to me as I was ending this. The favor of God will overtake your life like a tidal wave. And he will open doors for you beyond what you could ever ask or think. The favor of God is waiting for you right now to unlock it with the keys to the kingdom of God. Let's stand up in this place. The favor of God. Prayer team, come on forward. Now, maybe there's someone in here. You're still on the outside looking in. You've never made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Do not wait. Do not wait. I beg you. We just did a celebration of life on Friday. Thank God Mike was born again. We know where he's at. But it's a reminder. It's a reminder of this, that when you take your last breath, it seals your eternity, your eternal destination. If you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, come down and just pray with one of the team members. Tell them, say, I want to get born again today. And they will lead you through a prayer to do that. If this message hit home to you and you said, wow, I want to walk in that favor. I want to walk in it. I have a clearer understanding of what it is. I understand I have a responsibility in this thing. Maybe you're backslidden and you want to come back home to the Father. Come forward and just share that with a prayer team member. I'm telling you, you come forward, talk to them, pray with them. You're going to leave here. It's going to feel like a weight is lifted off. That's why we do this. We don't do this for show. Amen. This is ministry. The Holy Ghost is moving at this altar for prayer. Amen. You never received the Holy Spirit baptism, speaking in other tongues. Come on forward. They'll lead you through that prayer as well to receive. If you need prayer for anything else, come on forward now. I hand it over to my beautiful wife, Marianne.
And he who finds a wife finds himself in a sharp-looking outfit.
She picked it.
Doesn't he look handsome today? This is the one time, ladies, I'll give you permission to say,
oh, come on.
The pastor looks handsome. No, I really did pick out the shirt. And because at first he's like, white? Really? I'm like, that's going to look good.
I'm like, I'm going to have makeup all over it from hugging everyone. You know?
I'm like, I have to look at you too, you know. So
first
anyway.
World problems. All right.